Probably brought back great memories. And they traveled quite a bit and sang. And then I was also thinking and looking, Chris don't look as young as he used to when he sang with the Crown College. Yeah, but you put that on there, didn't you? Paul put it on there. Okay. He must not realize you were, well, maybe he did realize you were singing with him, but I was watching a video the other night from a service when Dr. Tom Malone was preaching. And Chris was in the choir behind Brother Malone. And he talked the whole service. That's hard to imagine. I know. No, he didn't. He laughed at Brother Malone's jokes. And you have to know, Brother Malone, he does like what I'm doing right now. He would talk 20 minutes before he'd start preaching. And he'd say all kinds of things. And then he'd start preaching. He'd preach an hour, you know. Boy, what a preacher he was. And I loved to hear Brother Malone preach. And I was looking at Chris and I said, man, he looks just like a kid there, you know. But he looks a whole lot the same. That's amazing, with the gray hair or two added and maybe an ounce or two added. You know, we all have that, don't we? Two ounces, he said. But, you know, what a blessing it is to see young ladies and young men, and not as young a man, singing for the Lord. But I appreciate the music tonight, don't you? And I appreciate all of our music. God's been so good to us. And I'm just amazed every time some people from our church get up and sing, and people come and visit, and they say, you know, it's amazing. You don't have just a whole lot of people, but you have a whole lot of talent and ability. And it is pretty neat, isn't it? When you hear all these people sing and the different groups and the different soloists and all that. And I'll tell you, it makes you envious. I wish I could sing like they could sing. But I have a song in my heart. And God's been so good to me. Well, stand with me tonight as we look at the book of John, chapter number 5. John, chapter number 5. As you know, last week we started a series on honoring Christ. And we take this passage, and I'll take one verse here and look at this to get kind of a thought, and then we'll move into a certain direction, okay? So let's look together. The Bible says in verse number 19, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. And He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Now, tonight we could continue to go on and read this passage of Scripture. But as we look at this, I want you to see what the Bible says in verse number 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Let's pray together. Father, please have your way in this service tonight. We thank you for how you've already spoken to us, Lord, through the singing and time of prayer and time of giving. But Lord, now we come to the time of preaching, and I pray that you'll somehow, some way use me. And I know I need thee tonight. I recognize that need, and I'm calling upon thee, asking thee to empower me and strengthen me to say what needs to be said. Lord, I pray that the sweet Spirit of God would be in our midst tonight and give us exactly what we need. Lord, may I be strengthened to do thy will, but Lord, may we all be strengthened to respond in a way that's pleasing to thee. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that's accomplished, for we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. in our passage of Scripture that we've read tonight, we have an understanding here that the Lord Jesus has healed someone on the Sabbath day. And we understand, we know that Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. And we understand that this Sabbath was a day of rest from creation, but it was not a day of rest from doing the things that needed to be done. By the way, if God quit working on the Sabbath, all of our plant life would die. All of our everything else would quit working, and we would be in a mess. You understand that, right? He rested from creation, but He did not rest from all the other things that He does to keep things going and to keep things in motion. And we see that the Lord Jesus has healed a man on the Sabbath, a man that had been sick for 38 years, and now he has been healed. And we find that there are some people that come, some Jews, and they're persecuting the Lord Jesus, and they want to take his life. And he makes a comment in verse 17. He says, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." In other words, my Father's worked up until this point on the Sabbath, and now I'm working on the Sabbath. I'm doing what needs to be done. And then he begins to explain his deity. He begins to help us to understand just who he is. He is God the Son. When we talk about God, we realize that there's one God, and there's three entities in that one God: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And we find out here that the Lord Jesus is speaking to us, and he speaks to these people, and he says, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. In other words, my Father and I are working together in this. And I'm able to do the things that the Father would have me to do because I and my Father are one. We are co-equal, coexistent, eternally existent, one with another. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. The Father loveth the Son, showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater things, greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. In other words, the Father's able to give life and the Son's able to give life. That's what that word quicken means here. It means to make alive. And we know that the Lord Jesus is able to do that, right? We know the things that he did. We know what he does with Lazarus. We know what he does with the daughter of Jairus. We know what he does with the widow of Nain's son. We understand these things, and we have an understanding that he is able to give life. But not only is he able to give physical life, he's able to give spiritual life. He's able to give us life everlasting. And so he's explaining to these people who he is and his ability. And by the way, he never backs down that he is God. And he never apologizes that he is God. So we must see this and understand this. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So in this Godhead, this Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we see that God has given to the Son the ability to judge, and he has called upon him to be the judge. Because he is not only Son of God, he's Son of Man. And he'll be the righteous judge because he's walked where you've walked. He's seen what you and I have seen. He's had flesh like you and I have flesh. So we understand that. And then we come to verse 23, and we can get into all these different things, how that they work together in the resurrection, they work together in regeneration and in redemption and all that. But let's look at what the Bible says in verse 23 when it's talking about this. Jesus, the Lord Jesus says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. So tonight, as we look at this, we have an understanding that while a lot of people give allegiance to God, the Lord Jesus says you must give allegiance not only to God the Father, but to God the Son. A lot of people will say, "I like to thank God." But here he's saying that if you're really going to honor the Father, you have to honor the Son. And if you do not honor the Son, then you do not honor the Father. And so as we think about that, I want to take this. Last week I looked at how we honor Christ in our lives, in the life of this church and of any Bible-believing church, in our message. And we looked at the gospel, how that the gospel was needed, how that the gospel was necessary, and how the gospel negated man's ways. And we took a look into that, and we saw some different things. So in our message, we are to honor Christ. But tonight I want us to look at honoring Christ in our music. in our music. And I want to go back to the Old Testament, if you will. Turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 16. I want to give you just a little bit of background about what's going on here, and I want to be very quick about this tonight. But keep your Bibles open there to chapter number 16. But if you were to go back and read, you would go back and read in chapter number 13 how that the ark of God was in the house of Abinadab. And David wants to bring the ark of God back home, if you will. And he goes, and they put the ark of God on a new cart. And you know the story. One of them touches the ark of God, and Uzzah touches the ark of God. All of this was out of order, because God has said who is supposed to carry the ark of God. That's the Levites' responsibility. But God, David just goes in, and he wants to capture the ark of God, and he wants to bring it back, and he wants to do these things. And they go, and they have the ark of God on a new cart, not the cart that God would have. And I want you to understand tonight that is out of order, and that's not what God wanted them to do. And so they had to stop, and they took, and they had to place the ark of God in the house of Obed-Edom, and it had to stay there for about 3 months. So what they were doing was wrong. So David says, we've got to get some things right here. And David goes and he puts a dwelling place, a tent if you will, in the right place. And he says, now let's do this right. And he says, God says that we're supposed to have the Levites to carry this. And so he gets the family of the Levites together and he says, you all are the ones going to carry the ark. And they go and they get the ark and they do it just the way that Moses told them to do it, the way that God had instructed for Moses to do it. And they get the ark and they carry the ark of God and they take it out of Obed-Edom and they take it to the place that David has prepared for them, and they make a safe journey there. And I'm telling you, it's an exciting time, because the ark of God, which represents the presence of God with the children of Israel, is in the place where it's supposed to be. And when all of this begins to happen, David is getting some things in order. And the Bible teaches us in chapter 15, verse 16, David, when they were doing all these things and they were bringing the ark of God and they prepared the place for the ark of God, if you'll notice, it said in verse number 2 of chapter 15, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. In verse number 12, it says, you're the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the new order. In other words, we didn't do things the way God told us to. And anytime we do things other than the way that God told us to, God's not going to bless us the way that he wants to bless us. So they go and they get things in order and they get everything taken care of. And then I want you to see how the Bible says that the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded them, to the word of the Lord in chapter 15, verse 15. But then look at verse 16, 15, 16. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up their voice with joy. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and of the sons of Merari, their brethren Ethan, the son of Cushai. And so we see how that they had all these things ready. And David said, the ark of God is coming back, so we're going to get ready and we're going to have a time where we're going to be doing some singing. That's what happens when you get excited. You start singing, right? There's that song that's in our heart. The Bible says in verse 22, and Chenaniah, the chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. And the Bible goes on and it says in verse 25, so David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. They had everything ready. We're going to sing when we get it here. We're going to go get the ark. We're going to bring it from the house of Obed-Edom. We're going to put it in the place that I prepared for it. Place it, this tent that I have for it, we're going to place it in its proper place. I want you to have the singers ready, because we're going to have a time where we're going to sing unto the Lord. It's going to be an exciting time. You can imagine The ark of God's been absent from Israel for quite some time. All during the time of Saul, it was not honored. And now, this ark that represents the very presence of God, as a matter of fact, it is the presence of God in the camp of Israel. They're so excited. They'd already tried to do it the wrong way, and they couldn't get it there. But David says, we're going to do it the right way now. And he says, I want you to get the singers ready. We're going to have some music, and we're going to rejoice in the Lord, and we're going to see some great things happen. The Bible goes on and it says, and David, in verse 27, was clothed with a robe of fine linen. And all the Levites that bear the ark and the singers and Chenaniah, the master of the song with the singers, David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the cornet and with trumpets, with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. You know, there's so much in this message that you could talk about here, but I want to get down to this. Honoring Christ with our music. And I want us to go down in chapter number 16. And then we'll look at some things here. The Bible says in verse number 1, they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifice and peace offerings before God. When David had made an end of offering the burnt offering and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one, a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. And look here, David says, all right, I want you to get the choir ready. We're going to have some singing. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Notice who appointed. Asaph, the chief. Next to him, Zechariah, Jael, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom. And Jael with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with the cymbals. Benaiah also, and Jehaziel the priest with the trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. And then the Bible goes on and says, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm, which is a beautiful song, to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And David writes a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm of praise, a song, if you will. And he gives it to Asaph to orchestrate, if you will. Because that's what Asaph's job was. When you go and you study, you'll find out that he was the head of the choir for David in David's kingdom. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Then notice verse 9 and 10. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servants, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he has commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. So David has it all set up. They get the ark of God, they bring it to the place, and they put it in its place. And David says, get the choir ready. It's time to have some music. And I believe that this was truly Christ-honoring music. Because we see some things in it. And I want you to look with me, if you will, tonight in these few verses here, verses 9 and 10 specifically, and some other ones there. I want you to see, first of all, the preparation. The preparation. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. When we see this, the Bible teaches us that the right kind of music, music that honors the Lord, is when we're singing to the Lord. You know what a lot of people do? They like to perform. A song is about a performance, about Can we get an applause? Can we get a toe tapping? Or can we have all these things going on that's going to bring praise unto me? But David says, sing unto the Lord. Sing psalms to the Lord and sing about Him. And so songs are to be about Him and songs are to be to Him. So in our preparation, we ought to be sure that we're preparing to sing to God. Every song should be sung to the Lord. And people are going to be able to join in on what's being sung in honoring God. Well, as we understand the preparation, that's why we need to pray about what it is we're going to sing. That's why we need to seek the Lord. Don't just say, well, I'm going to pick this song because it sounds good, because I know it best, because, you know, it just feels good to sing it. No, we pray about it and we prepare ourselves. And by the way, if the choir comes in here prayed up and prepared up, then when they sing, they're going to sing to the Lord. And it's going to honor Christ. It's going to be something precious and glorious and wonderful in our midst. We sing to Him and our songs will talk of Him. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. I think songs that we sing ought to talk about the Lord, don't you? You know, one of the amazing things about the new music that we see going on, it talks about all kinds of things, but it leaves the Lord out a lot of times. Some of the modern day music. And by the way, there's some good songs that have been written this year, no doubt, that honors the Lord, that are great songs. And just because a song is new doesn't mean it's bad. We got to get out of that kind of thinking in our lives that all the new songs are bad songs. As a matter of fact, there's been some of the greatest songs written in the last 10 years. Beautiful songs that honor the Lord, that you can sing to the Lord. You're praising the Lord, you're offering something to God because you're singing to Him. And that's what you do when you sing. You honor Christ by realizing that you're making an offering to the Lord. So we see the preparation. Secondly, I want you to see the presentation. The presentation. The Bible says in verse number 10, glory ye in His holy name. So as we present the song, it ought to be songs that cause us to worship the Lord. You're worshiping the Lord and it ought to cause others to worship the Lord. Now, how are we to worship the Lord? Do we understand that? We know what the Bible teaches us. You can look with me. I'll go and read it. And I promise you, I'm going to read it exactly like it says in John chapter number 4. You know the story how that the Lord Jesus must needs go through Samaria, and there He meets the woman at the well, and there's this interesting conversation going on, and it comes down to a point where the Bible says in verse 23 of John chapter 4, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now we need to understand that when we sing a song, it has to be a song of truth. What we're doing when we're singing, if we're going to honor Christ, we are presenting a truth. So that's going to help us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Now, we all know people, and you know, if you've been around church any time at all, you know the entertainment business is thriving in churches now. And churches are growing, many churches are growing through entertainment instead of through truth. And it's a sad thing. Now, every church that's growing and every church that is large, that does not mean that they've compromised the truth and they've done that. I know churches that are running thousands that honor the Lord and have Christ honoring music, and I think it's great. And you can tell there's a whole different atmosphere in churches like that than in churches that are running thousands and do not worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. They worship the Lord in soul, because in your soul is your emotions. And by the way, there are emotions in our life. There are emotions that help us to appreciate the Lord more. I understand that. But true worship is not soul worship. True worship is spirit worship. Amen. The Bible says we worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, when a truth is given, we're able to worship God, even if it doesn't make us cry, and if it doesn't make us shout, if it doesn't make us smile, but because a truth has been given, we can worship God and we can honor Him, because that's Christ honoring music. I don't think music ought to be dead, but I think it ought to always honor Christ. In other words, the message must be a message of truth. And you've heard me say ever since I've been the pastor here that every song should have the right doctrine. If the doctrine doesn't line up, then the song shouldn't be sung. And I believe we practice that around here. I believe our song leaders make sure that we sing the right kind of music, and then you study your music. And, you know, I've even had people come to me and say, is this right? And, you know, that's great. Because we don't want a false sense of worship, do we? We want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And that's what this is. It says, glory ye in His holy name. The presentation is to bring glory to Him. To bring glory to His holy name. In other words, it's to allow us to sit in the presence of the Lord because of the truth that's given. It's like when a preacher's preaching on Calvary, and he's preaching on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's talking about how that they put a mask over His face and they begin to beat Him. And you begin to picture that in your mind. And then we see as they pull that mask off and they look at Him and say, if you're the Son of God, which one of us was it that hit you? And you're in your mind, you're seeing a face that's not even recognizable. His beard has been plucked. His body is beaten and bruised and battered. You see all the things that are going on, and you're seeing Him in this truth. Well, that's what songs ought to do. It ought to bring us into a truth so that we can see the truth of God's Word. We're presenting a truth. Every song is to present a truth that lines up with the Word of God. Every song that's sung in the church. I believe the house of God is a house of worship. But I believe worship has to be in spirit and in truth. So we see tonight that these are songs to God. That's the preparation. They're songs that cause worship. That's the presentation. But then finally tonight, I want you to see the participation, because this is songs that uplift. Our music, if it's Christ-honoring music, we'll honor Christ with the preparation. We'll honor Christ with the presentation. Then we'll honor Christ with the participation. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 10 again. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Israel, His servants, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. I see in this songs that uplift us. And when it says, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord, we understand that these songs will allow us to participate in this worship. How? Because, first of all, we rejoice in the present, what's going on around us. It says, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. In other words, when we're singing Christ-honoring music, we are actually rejoicing in the present because of the songs that are being sung. That's what it's talking about here. Let the heart of them that seek the Lord rejoice. So we can have this. This is what music does to us. Music is a gift from God. And we need to realize that God wants music to bring glory and honor to Him. And when it does, we can participate by rejoicing in the present. In other words, we're rejoicing in the truth that's being given. But not only does the music help us to rejoice in the present, I want you to see also what the Bible says in verse number 12. Remember His marvelous works. So it helps us to remember the past. We rejoice in the present because the Bible says in verse number 11, seek the Lord in His strength and His face continually. That's something present. That's what you're to do all the time in the present. But then it says, remember the past. Songs ought to help remind us of the grace of God. Songs of Calvary, songs of Moses, songs of deliverance, songs that remind us of all that God has done for us. And we need to remember in the past, and songs ought to do that for us. That's Christ-honoring music. You see, there's different kinds of music. There's different styles of music. And you know, regardless of the style of music, it must be Christ-honoring. Christ-honoring is never worldly. Christ-honoring is always holy. And in being holy, we're rejoicing in the present, what God's doing for us now, and we're seeking His strength. We're seeking His face continually. Then we're also remembering what He's done. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O you seed of Israel, His servants, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God, His judgments are in all the earth. David's writing this psalm, Asaph's putting it to music, and he says, let's sing a song so that we can rejoice in what's going on right now. Let's have the kind of music that we can remember the past and the goodness of God, the way that He's delivered us, the way that He's done great things for us. It's the way we sing songs of Calvary, isn't it? We remember what the Lord's done for us. And then it says, songs ought to remind us of the future. Remind us of the promises. Notice what the Bible says. Rejoice in the present, remember the past, and be reminded of the promises. Verse number 15, the Bible says, be mindful always of His covenant. The word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which He made with Abraham and of His oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but a few, even a few, and strangers in it. You know what He's saying? Remember the promises. Now He's talking this time to the children of Israel, and He's saying, remember the promises that God the Father made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He promised a land. He promised something that would be rightfully ours. This is an everlasting covenant. By the way, they still don't have full rights to that land, but they will. But what's that say to us? Remember the promises. How that if you put your faith in Christ, you have everlasting life. How that when you put your faith in Christ, there is the promise of a home up in heaven. Remember the promises. That's why I like songs. I like songs that are sung about Calvary. I like songs that are sung about the deliverance back the children of Israel and songs about the great things of God and songs about the doctrines of the Lord and songs that search our hearts and songs that do these things. I like songs that allow me to rejoice in the present. You know, we sing songs that talks about how God is with us. How, you know, we'll sing that chorus, God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me. We sing, He answers prayer, He answers prayer, He answers prayer, He's so good to me. You know what we're doing? We're rejoicing in the present. Just this past week, I was praying for something so specific and it was so simple, and God in 5 minutes answered my prayer. And I about had a spell because God heard my prayer. It was great. You know? And then we'll sing songs that remind us of the past, that helps us to be reminded of all that God's done for us in the past. And I go back and I'm even reminded of things, you know, of how God's worked in my life through some of the singing, some of the songs. But then, I love to hear those songs where we start singing about heaven. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joy is ours to share. What rejoicing that will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the skies. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Think about it. If that don't get your blood pumping and your heart stirred up, nothing will. We shall see Jesus just as he is. You think about it. Once on a hillside, people, I'm getting all excited just thinking about my past and how God's with me now in the present. I look at my past, I see my sin. I look at the present, I see my Savior. I look at the future and I see that he is soon coming again. Christ-honoring music. There's nothing like it in all the world. And people think that we have to bring in worldly music. But I want to tell you something tonight. If we'll sing the right kind of music, the right way, it'll move people's lives and change people's hearts. And it'll reveal great truths that can impact our generation for Jesus Christ. Honoring Christ. He that honoreth the Father, he that honoreth the Son, honoreth the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father. There are a lot of churches today that are trying to do away with the deity of Christ. His importance. They want to worship God, whichever God it is you choose to worship. Come and worship God with us. It doesn't matter which God you really believe in. It's happening even in Baptist churches and in mainline denomination churches. And I want you to remember this. If there's one thing Satan knows, it's music. The Bible helps us to see that God gave him a set of pipes that he can make beautiful music with. And he knows the power of music. And that's why he's trying to creep into our churches and to destroy Christ-honoring music. Let's honor Christ, not only in our message, but let's honor Christ in our music. I know this isn't a salvation message, and I don't know how decisive of a message it is, like a decision that you would necessarily just come to with this, other than let's determine to honor Christ with all that we do. Let's honor him with everything that we have and allow him to work in our lives. We've talked about the message and the music. We're going to talk about honoring Christ in our money, honoring Christ in our method, honoring Christ in our members. We're going to talk about these things in weeks to come. But let's be excited that God has given us the truth. And we can honor Christ in this area of our life. Maybe you need to come tonight and say, Lord, just help me. Help me to be more prayerful, maybe if I do sing. Or help me to be more, to participate more in rejoicing in the truth that I'm hearing. By the way, when somebody's singing and there's a truth and it's touching you, it doesn't hurt to smile. Because I'm telling you, sometimes it's tough to sing when you know that you've prayed about something and you're singing a great truth and you look out there and people look like they could care less, you know? I tell you, if I was a Christian, I'd at least act like I cared. That's hypocrisy, I understand, but you understand what I'm saying. You ought to let the truth minister. Let it do something to you. Truth. We can rejoice because truth is eternal. The world says it's relative. But the Word of God says, truth is eternal. And dear friends, Christ-honoring music is truth music. Amen? Father, we thank you for what you've given to us tonight. And I pray that you'll help us to honor Christ in all things. Lord, may we be so prayerful about everything. Every decision we make, may it honor thee. Not just in our music, but everything we do in our life. Lord, may it be bathed in prayer. And Lord, may we be guided by the Holy Spirit. may thy precious will be done. Tonight, as we come to this time to respond, Lord, it's so difficult to